Good morning, everyone. So nice to be with you today on our celebrating our Good Friday. The sermon title this week is Who is Jesus? Or we could say The Implication of Incorrect Identification. And this is what is confusing everything for the disciples. We saw last week at the beginning of our Passover week that Jesus looking upon Jerusalem and how everybody was throwing palm branches at his feet, and they had really misunderstood all that he'd come to do. And some of that comes from misunderstanding all that we need him to do in and through our lives. It's not the world out there that he needs to fix. It's the heart inside of us that needs the fixing. That's where the brokenness lies. And that was the part they were missing. So at the beginning of the Passover week, as I've said, at this point in his life and ministry, some people were amazed at what he was doing. Others were frightened of him. Jesus had done so many wonderful things for so many needy people. They were convinced he was their savior, but they didn't really grasp what they needed to be saved from. And so then he brings this verse to them in from Mark chapter 10, verses 32 to 34. Mark chapter 10, 32 to 34. Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him, the same things that he told Peter in chapter 16 were going to happen to them. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. Many people didn't know what to think after he explained this to them. Was he on their side? Was he going to fix everything that was wrong? Or was there another side? Was there something they were missing? Jesus is the Greek name for Joshua, which means Jehovah is my help, or Jehovah is the Savior. Peter in Matthew 16 identifies Jesus as the Christ. He not only identifies him correctly as the Christ, he also went on to say, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's important to realize that correctly identifying Jesus and his office does not guarantee a willingness to live in God's will. It's an academic statement. It's a theological position. You know who he is. Okay, so who is he to you? And this was the question that Jesus was asking at the beginning of Matthew chapter 16 when he said to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And the answer he's looking for is, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? So we need to embrace God for who he is in our lives in order to appreciate all that he came to do. So to demonstrate my point, I give you James 2, verse 19. You believe that there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. And James is talking there about having faith that works, not just a belief about God, but believing in God, trusting him for all that he is and for everything that we need. And then, of course, Jesus remarked to Peter, who on the heels of giving the right answer in Matthew chapter 16 gave Jesus the wrong answer. He had turned and rebuked Jesus when Jesus began to tell him what was going to take place shortly. And when Jesus replied to him, he didn't mix any words. He put this straight in their face. And so Matthew 16, verse 23, after Peter rebuked him, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Exactly. Peter was interested in building the kingdom on earth right now, instead of the kingdom of heaven coming into the earth and changing it from the inside out, as it were. Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word rendered Messiah, meaning anointed. This is the official title of our Lord, occurring 514 times in the New Testament. The Christ was anointed through his redemptive work as prophet, priest, and king of his people. He's identified as Jesus the Christ by Paul in Acts 17:3, which reads, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." Again, Paul says in Acts 18:5b, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus himself asked the Pharisees in Matthew 22, verse 42, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." Jesus is his name. Christ is his position, his appointed office. He is the anointed one, the one consecrated to a holy and sacred purpose, and that purpose is our salvation. That's really important to God. Not something we just choose, like to believe this or like to believe that or have our favorite verse. No, there are some things that need to take place. There is a position for us of being saved. Christ the Messiah is the same person as the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. The seed of Abraham, Genesis 22:18. He's the prophet like unto Moses, Deuteronomy 18:15. He's the priest after the order of Melchizedek, Psalm 110, verse 4. He's the rod out of the stem of Jesse, Isaiah 11, verse 1 and verse 10. He's Emmanuel, the virgin's son, Isaiah 7, verse 14. He is the branch of Jehovah, Isaiah 4, verse 2, and the messenger of the covenant, Malachi 3, verse 1. Jesus, the Christ, is Jesus, the deliverer, the anointed one, the savior of mankind. From his mother's side, Jesus could point you to his father, Jehovah, my help, Jehovah, the one who saves. From his father's side, he is the one who saves, Emmanuel, God with us. Many people only see Jesus from his mother's side, a great teacher, the one who can give direction for living, one who can save a person in battle, one who can turn water into wine, heal the leper, cause the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. Yes, he can do all of these things. However, to save people from themselves, it's going to take more than the smaller miracles, if we could say it that way. It will take Jesus the Christ to do the saving. And he comes from his Father's side. Failing to see a need for one to be saved from themselves, in other words, if we think we just need to be saved from the outside things, you know, it's not our fault. It's them, though, they's, them, those, they, the other ones that complicate our lives. When really, no, it's us. We are our own worst enemy. Failing to see a need for one to be saved from themselves is an affirmation that one is viewing Jesus only from his mother's side. There's much more to it than that. That was to get their attention, turning water into wine and doing the miracles. But the greatest miracle of all is being born again by the Spirit of God. And that's Jesus from his Father's side. Both of these viewpoints are needed in our relationship with Jesus. We experience both of them as we go along, but only one of them is primary. God came to us in Jesus to show us the way, and he came to us in Christ to be the way. This he did and is, that we might be and remain the living sacrifice He's called us to be. We can't live the Christian life without Christ. This is not about doing things for God. This is about God who has gone over the top in doing things for us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, speaking of God with us, it reads, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet without sin." He who knows us best has and does completely save us, even from ourselves, on those days when we seem to need to make that necessary. The only, as you've heard me say many times before, the only part I've played in my salvation is making it necessary. That's my only glory. Jesus was actually who the scribes and the Pharisees were looking for in the scriptures. When he was 12 years old, he reasoned with the priests in the temple. The priest marveled at his understanding. Unfortunately for them, though, 18 years later, they only saw him from his mother's side. Just a miracle doer, a great teacher, but not the Christ. They willfully rejected him as their Savior and had him crucified. If we misidentify our Savior, the Christ, we're not going to realize accurately our need to be saved. So where was he from? Well, his mother gave birth to him in Bethlehem. He was actually the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, from John chapter 1, verses 14b. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, Revelation 21:6. He is the chief cornerstone, the one the builders rejected, a stone of stumbling for those who do not believe. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. On this day, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was charged with blasphemy because he did not deny being the Christ. From Matthew 26, verses 62 to 64. "And the high priest arose and said to him, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?' But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, 'I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.' Jesus said to him, 'It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven.'" When you say that to a powerful worldly leader, it doesn't make them very happy. "But the right hand of real power, that's where he's seated now, as he is with us in the Holy Spirit. He was crucified. He did die and was buried. In a couple of days, we'll talk about how that went." A couple of hymns I would encourage you to YouTube, maybe, after this message would be The Old Rugged Cross and Were You There? Just to kind of take your heart back to consider the message this morning. May God continue to bless and keep you and be the celebrated increase of your lives. And remember, this is not the last chapter. We win. There'll be another message on Sunday morning for you. Take care. Bye-bye.